Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas has called a meeting of municipal leaders to discuss growing racial tension in northern Bohemia. The Prime Minister and several cabinet members will be visiting Israel next week for high-level meetings. And an official commemorative event marking the 10th anniversary of 9/11 will feature the plastic people of the universe. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has called a meeting with leaders of the Union of Towns and Municipalities of the Czech Republic to discuss growing racial tensions in northern Bohemia. The government responded to the situation by reinforcing the police presence in the region. Together with Labour Minister Jaromír Drábek, Environment Minister Tomáš Chalupa and Culture Minister Jiří Beser, the Prime Minister plans to discuss the financing of affected municipalities on Friday, ahead of scheduled party gatherings of the far-right Workers' Party for Social Justice in three locations in the region on Saturday. Prime Minister Nečas and several cabinet members will be visiting Israel next week for high-level meetings. The government announced the aim of the two-day visit as strengthening partnership and collaboration between the two countries, particularly with regards to science and technology, research and development, and innovation. The delegation is scheduled to meet with Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu and members of the business community. The upcoming UN vote on Palestinian membership in the organization will likely also be on the table, with the Czech Republic having been reported in the Israeli media as being one of five Western European states that plans to vote against the motion. The Czech government has thus far refused to state publicly its position on the matter. The municipal court in Prague has ruled that the state must pay damages to the illegitimate granddaughter of artist Alfons Mucha due to the fact that she was excluded from inheritance proceedings for 12 years after the death of her father. The court ruled definitively that the Justice Ministry must pay Jarmila Plotskova more than 300,000 crowns in damages, as she was unable to profit from her grandfather's work during that period. She was seeking 2.4 million in damages and an additional 4 million in compensation for property and moral damages. Plotskova spent 16 years after the 1991 death of her father, Jiri Mucha, trying to get herself recognized as an heir in spite of an affidavit he had signed and notarized. Her claim was only validated by the court in 2002. Czech and American officials have organized a commemorative event to mark the 10th anniversary of 9/11 on Sunday at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Černínský Palác at 6 p.m., Headlining the program will be the classic Czech underground band Plastic People of the Universe, an exhibition of photographs by Jan Šibík showing the aftermath of the attacks in New York will be on display, as will a new exhibit on Czech contributions to reconstruction efforts in Afghanistan. The event is being organized by the Czech Foreign and Defense Ministries in cooperation with the American Center and is open to the public. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be partly cloudy to sunny, with a rise in temperatures to 26 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, with me, Jan Richter. In today's show, a shocking new campaign aims to raise AIDS awareness among Czechs. Then we'll have a roundup of the latest business news. And later, in an interview for Czech Radio, the U.S. Ambassador to Prague, Norman Eisen, recalls the events of 9/11.
I heard a terrible cry again, and it was the second plane had hit, and then we knew it was not an accident.
All that and more coming your way, so please stay tuned. A shocking new AIDS campaign comparing risky behavior to suicide aims to remind Czechs that the danger of HIV infection has not gone away. The NGO Art for Life, which is behind the campaign, says that the public, which has long grown careless of the danger, needs to be jolted into awareness of what is at stake. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
Nemoc AIDS je nevyléčitelná a smrtelná. Každý den se u nás virem HIV nakazí jeden člověk. Dej si bacha.
voice of a well-known Czech singer, Bára Basíková, who is the face of the new campaign called Watch Out, warns Czechs that AIDS is in effect a painful way of committing suicide. Bringing the message home is a series of shocking billboards showing suicide in graphic detail. A man lying in a bathtub with his wrist slashed, a woman with her head in a gas oven, a man who has committed suicide by hanging. It is the first big AIDS campaign in 15 years, and a recent survey commissioned by Art for Life shows just how sorely it is needed. According to the results, 82% of respondents do not consider AIDS to be a threat. A third of respondents admitted that they do not use condoms when having casual sex. A fifth of respondents are not sure if the disease can be transmitted by kissing. Bára Basíková, a mother of three, says she agreed to be the face of the campaign when she learned about the outcome of the survey.
I was shocked to see how many people do not consider AIDS to be a danger, how careless they are and unaware of the risks involved.
The head of Art for Life, Martin Kamen, says the careless attitude of the public with regard to the threat was what made them select shock therapy when discussing what form the campaign should take.
We really needed to jolt the public into awareness, into realizing what exactly they are risking, and the decision to present risky behavior as a form of suicide was logical, because in a way that is exactly what the illness brings. It leads to a slow and painful death.
Since 1986, when the Czech health authorities started testing for HIV, there have been 1,613 registered cases of the virus, of that 1,312 men and 301 women. 334 people have developed full-blown AIDS and 175 people have died. The vast majority of those infected with HIV contracted the virus through unprotected sex. Although in comparison with other European countries, these statistics are not alarming, doctors say that in view of the careless attitude of the public and the scant interest there is in getting tested, the number of infected persons could in reality be two or three times higher. In Slovenia, which 2 years ago had similar statistics as the Czech Republic, the number of HIV-infected persons has suddenly quadrupled. People involved in the fight against AIDS say that their main problem is money. The government has slashed funds on the grounds that the statistics do not give serious cause for concern. And, as Lukáš Sapík from Art for Life explains, while most people do not consider AIDS to be a threat to themselves, the stigma surrounding it is certainly present when it comes to approaching sponsors.
Yeah, we have some partners, but it's not too much because a lot of companies don't want to be joined with this theme because it's very, very dangerous for them. They think that it's not good to be joined with this problem.
The Watch Out campaign will appear on a number of commercial televisions, Czech radio and cinemas around the country over the next 3 months.
Daniela Lazarová reporting. Now I'm joined in the studio by Sara Borůvka with the latest business news.
The Czech GDP grew by 2.2% in the second quarter of this year, falling about 0.2 percentage points short of a preliminary estimate for that period. GDP growth is down from 2.8% in the first quarter and 2.7% in the fourth quarter of last year. According to figures released by the Czech Statistical Office earlier this week, export remains a key factor in the country's GDP. Analyst Markéta Šichtářová of Next Finance said that the Czech economy is slowing down much quicker than expected and that no economic growth at all in the future was a possibility. According to analyst Václav Franče of the Raiffeisen Bank, an overall GDP growth of 1.9% for 2011 is likely.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas said on Friday that the lower VAT rate could be raised to 19% as early as next year. This measure, which he says is one way to increase the budget revenue if GDP growth falls short of the estimates, would not be applied to medicine and books. The Prime Minister added that another way to increase revenue would be to reduce the volume of free emissions allowances to between 65 and 75%. Taxes from gambling could also be a way to raise revenue. However, Mr. Nečas said that this would have to be done carefully. Imposing a tax of 20% on betting operators could drive them out of the country, he said.
RegioJet, the new railway operator of the travel services company Student Agency, launched its ticket sales on Wednesday. Traffic on the new RegioJet route between Prague and the Moravian Silesian city of Havířov will be opened on September 26th with a total of 3 connections in each direction per day. The route connects 2 major Czech cities, Prague and Ostrava, and a price war for this connection between Czech Railways and its first competitor on this route has been predicted. In the future, Student Agency plans to expand the number of its daily connections from Prague to Havířov to 18. While Student Agency offers a one-way online ticket for 230 Czech crowns, Czech Railways charges a fare of 438 crowns at ticket counters. Student Agency, which successfully operates a number of bus lines both domestically and internationally, is planning to mirror the ticket sales strategy of its buses for its new RegioJets and propagate online sales over paper tickets.
Czech automobile producer Škoda Auto has improved its sales in the first 8 months of 2011 by 18.3% year-on-year. The car manufacturer also reached a new record of vehicles sold in August. In 2011, Škoda sold 60,400 cars, as compared to 55,900 cars during the same month in 2010. A spokesman for the company said that Škoda is experiencing growth in all of its markets worldwide and that the car producer was on track to reach the objectives of its growth strategy. Domestically, the company's market share grew by 5.3% in August, with 4,000 new vehicles sold. In China, Škoda achieved a growth of market shares by 20.2%, which amounts to some 18,800 cars sold in the month of August. The most popular model is Škoda's family car Octavia.
According to the latest global competitiveness report from the Swiss NGO World Economic Forum, the Czech Republic has slipped in the rankings by 2 notches to 38, down from 36 last year. The development was mirrored within most of the countries in the region, with Slovakia down 9 notches compared to last year and Poland dropping 2 places to 41. Hungary managed to improve its position by 4 places up to 48 from 44 last year. Despite its lower rankings, the Czech Republic still stands as the most competitive of the 4 Visegrad countries. Topping the list are Switzerland, Singapore, and Sweden.
Thank you, Sara Borovka. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next, ahead of the upcoming 10th anniversary of 9/11 on Sunday, Czech Radio's Martina Mašková interviewed the US ambassador to Prague, Norman Eisen. In the interview, the ambassador is asked about Czech cooperation in the war on terror, CIA renditions at Czech airports, and Al-Qaeda. Mr. Eisen begins first, though, by discussing the attacks on that fateful September day, where he was when the first plane hit.
I was in my office on the top floor in Washington, D.C. And suddenly I heard a commotion in the conference room near my office. And I walked down and some of my colleagues were watching television and they said, look, a jet has just hit one of the twin towers of the World Trade Center. And I looked at it, I thought, what a terrible accident. I watched for a moment, and then I went back to my office. And then a few minutes later, I heard a terrible cry again from down the end of the hall, and I went back, and it was the second plane had hit. And then we knew it was not an accident. And by that time, I think there were other indications of the seriousness of the problem. My first call was to my wife. I had my baby daughter was at home, also in Washington, walking distance from the office. And I told them that I was going to come home and be with them. And I walked home, and I remember the streets were full of people going home walking, some walking very long distances. And then my wife and I watched the rest of the terrible events of that day together at home downtown D.C. Those are my memories of the day of 9/11.
Do you think the Bush administration failed to react properly to the attacks?
No, I don't think so. I believe that it is always possible to, of course, look back in hindsight. There may be specific things that could have been done differently. But I think that on the whole, the initial reaction was a good one and a strong one. And I personally was a supporter of the engagement in Afghanistan because the United States was attacked, and it's important to respond to an attack.
Al-Qaeda, according to the study, is still attempting to recruit U.S. Muslims. How do you explain that? Is it a problem of secret services or an expression of weakness of the multicultural concept?
I recently saw a study that surveyed the different ethnic communities in the United States. And that study determined that the community that had the overall the strongest patriotism and the most strong feelings, positive feelings towards the United States was actually the Muslim community. So I believe that U.S. Muslims are strong community, strong functioning part of American multiculturalism. The multicultural idea is the very essence of the United States. And on the whole, there are always individual difficulties. On the whole, I believe that it's working very well and will continue to thrive and prosper. And indeed, that it's one place where the United States can share the lessons, both good and bad. There have been difficulties with our multiculturalism over the centuries, the more than two centuries that we've been practicing it. But I think on the whole, it's successful.
The 9/11 Commission recently said that country is safer. I mean, the U.S. is safer, but there is still a need for greater unity of command between various emergency response agencies, or that U.S. needs more powerful office of Director of National Intelligence. Does President Obama consider such reforms?
The 9/11 Commission report, including the recent update, has been welcomed by the administration. The Department of Homeland Security, Secretary Napolitano, has blogged on the Homeland Security webpage about all of the ways that we are implementing the ideas there. That's an ongoing process, though. It does take time. Of course, a DNI, Director of National Intelligence, has been created, and we're continuing to work on these issues. I think there has been under both Republican and Democratic administrations, there has been outstanding vigilance at home in the United States in keeping us safe and secure, and that will continue under the Obama administration.
Some U.S. media, especially Fox News, broadcasted that 10 years after the attacks, there is still no public timetable for the trials of the suspects at Guantanamo Bay. Why?
I, of course, was in the White House for 2 years and was a firsthand observer to the president's efforts to bring this to closure. These are very difficult, in many cases, unprecedented legal issues. In general, the court cases for the those who are accused of terror activity have been to the Supreme Court a number of times, and the United States and the Obama administration is working diligently to bring those to closure. But when you have extraordinary, important, and unusual, indeed unprecedented litigation, it can sometimes take time to complete.
The Czech government was suspected it allowed the secret transport of Guantanamo detainees through our territory. Or more, there was a suspicion if the detainees were not interrogated here, what information you as the ambassador of the Obama administration have about that?
I'm not going to comment on those unsubstantiated reports. I will say that in general, the Obama administration has a firm commitment to fighting the war on terror, to doing it consistently with legal norms, both in the United States and internationally. And very pleased that the Czech Republic has been a partner globally and in an open way. For example, I went to Afghanistan and I saw how our two nations are working side by side within the NATO mission in Afghanistan and making great progress in not only fighting the war on terror, but also transformation and reconstruction to rebuild Afghan society so that they can take charge of their own security on the timetable that the president has set forth. So I think we've been publicly and openly allies in this larger global war on terror and for democracy.
It's now documented, the flights I talk about, because our U.S. correspondent has got a number of documents proving that secret transports with terror suspects on board passed through Prague in autumn 2004. CIA hired private airlines and gave people on the board diplomat status. I mean, if you have in your hands already the real proven documents, what would be your reaction as a representative of the Obama administration? Was it right to do it?
I'm not going to comment on those particular allegations. And probably better as a diplomat not to comment on hypothetical questions, on what-if questions.
It seems not to be hypothetical. We have really proven this and S number of media in the world. So the documents are there on the company, private company, which transported. I know that your role of diplomat is to be diplomatic, but on the other hand, this is Obama administration, that was previous administration. If this is proven, was it okay to transport these detainees through the Czech Republic?
Martina, I'm not going to comment on the allegations. It's the if it is proven, that is the hypothetical part of the question, and I'm not going to comment on that. I will say, as is publicly known, that our two countries have been strong allies in the fight against terror. We're also very good allies in the fight for democracy. So there's a much longer list of places, and this relates to 9/11 also, because one of the lessons that we learned on 9/11 is that a threat to freedom anywhere is a threat to freedom everywhere. Who would have imagined? We would certainly not have imagined in the United States that in the far-off Afghanistan that we were about to have a devastating blow to the center of two great U.S. cities. So for that reason, we are very proud to work with our partners around the world to promote freedom and democracy, because that's the antidote to terror. That's why we work with the Czech Republic, not just in Afghanistan, but to fight for democracy, to protect allies like Israel, to work against the efforts to undermine Iranian sanctions. And in other countries, Cuba, Burma, Belarus, we're fighting side by side. It's more important what we're fighting for, which is for freedom and democracy, free markets, political liberties, civil liberties. That's as important as what we're fighting against.
According to the Pravo Daily, you told the Foreign Committee in the U.S. That the Czech Republic is one of the best partners in Europe. Could you give me one or two examples of Czech loyalty?
Yes, I will. I'll take some liberty with the question, because I would say that It's not a question of Czech loyalty to us. It's a question of our shared partnership. Both the United States and the Czech Republic are loyal to an idea of democracy and freedom and free markets, and we work together as equal partners on that. Examples would be the mission in Afghanistan, where I myself went. I traveled with General Picek and saw how our U.S. troops and the Czech troops are working side by side. I talked to them both. They told me every U.S. soldier I talked to, from ordinary privates all the way up to General Petraeus, the NATO commander, all told me what wonderful partners the Czechs are in that work.
Czech radio reporter Martina Maškova was talking there to the U.S. ambassador to Prague, Norman Eisen. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with the rerun of Soundcheck, our Czech language learning program, brought to you by Christian Falvey.
Welcome to Soundcheck, our program that explains Czech phrases. This idiom is a bit hard to explain grammatically, though, even for Czechs. Listen out for the first phrase of this song by the underground psychedelic group DG307, Kdo z koho?
Kdo z koho? Kdo z kým? Kdo proti komu? Kdo sám? To je ten, kdo ví.
To je ten. Who wins? Who with whom? Who against whom? Who on their own? It's a mystery. Who knows? A helpful song for learning the declensions of the word who, except that the first one doesn't seem to make much sense. Kdo z koho? Who wins? Don't think too hard about it if you want to keep your idea of Czech as a logical, law-abiding language. Czech has its anomalies, like any language, and this is one. Look for Kdo z koho on the internet, and you might find as many discussions on its origin as you will actual usages, especially if you exclude its popular use as a film and book title. As Pavel Zajíček of DG307 sings, Je to tajemné, it's a mystery.
Kdo z koho? Kdo s kým? Kdo proti komu? Kdo sám?
The explanation is that kdo z koho has an archaic preposition, s, that used to use the fourth accusative case and only survives in a few rare phrases. Dáme si závod a uvidíme kdo z koho. Let's race and we'll see who wins. Another of those rare phrases is on není sto, a way of saying he doesn't have what it takes or he isn't up to the task. Same problem here. Sto is an impossible declension that makes no sense in any other context. There are lots of mysterious grammatical hlavolami, literally headbreakers, in Czech, and asi nejsem sto to vysvětlit, I'm probably not up to explaining them. But don't let them throw you for loops. You usually can rely on the beautifully systematic logic of Czech.
Christian Falvey with Soundcheck was the final part of Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programs are available online at radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.